Last week, I spoke about resistance to personal change and used a model called the immunity to change model. To recap that model briefly for you, our brains are designed to be naturally skeptical of change at best, and full-on pit bulls about it in many circumstances. The same part of our brain that keeps us from experiencing trauma, psychological or physical, protects us from harm, tends to, let's say, overfunction on a routine basis. So psychically, it's like we have an overactive right foot, always pressing on the brakes every time a new change is introduced. The world of science and our own experience, if we are paying attention to it, tells us that change is constant, so that our own body spirits can be in this constant push-pull, start-stop energy, trying to initiate change and then finding ourselves resistant to it. Kind of like the first time you learn to drive a stick shift, you know, that back and forth feeling, right? So in their immunity to change model, researchers Robert Keegan and Lisa Lasko Leahy invite people to look at the competing commitments that we find ourselves in when we are stuck around a change that we'd really like to make. So you want to make a change, but it's not happening. And so they would say you got your foot on the brake for a competing commitment. They're the other values that are underneath your stated lofty intentions that keep your old patterns in place. So, for example, you might want to lose weight, and it's not happening. And if you think about it, you might realize that the competing commitment is that food provides comfort for you and is an integral part of your social life. You see how that might stop you from the actual weight loss goal? So scratch the surface deeper, they say, and you get to your big assumption. Big assumptions are the beliefs and the internalized truths we have about how the world works, how we work, and how people will respond to us. They are the assumptions that hold these competing commitments in place, and they're often if-then statements. So for weight loss, with a competing commitment about comfort and a social life, the big assumption behind that might be, if I really make a serious attempt to lose weight, I won't have fun anymore. Can you hear that? I mean, it sounds ridiculous when we get to those big assumptions, but that can be the piece of what's holding us back. And I've been there with that one myself. But that was last week, personal resistance. This week, we're exploring how that can happen in our communal life, here, together. So first, as we think beyond ourselves, I want us to think about our families and all of their competing commitments that make moving forward on a vision, sometimes even a little vision like picking a movie together, challenging. For my family, that picking a movie on a Friday night can be fraught with resistance. And it depends, of course, on how tired each of us are, or who had more sway in the decision last week. But as I've listened closely to that jostling of competing commitments that stops us from moving forward on a little vision of a couple hours together watching a movie, I think some of the big assumptions under that are, if I don't get my way tonight, I'm not valued. Or if I don't get my way even deeper, if I don't get my way, I'm not loved. Do you see how that might operate in our lives? So now take that little family scene and multiply it by, say, 60. And you begin to see the web of interconnected competing commitments that are present in a congregation. What was that Stephanie was saying? No wonder making change in congregations is so hard. Last week, we talked about what is your holy dance as a way to help you explore your own inner desire for change and the resistances you might have for it. And as a congregation, we often ask ourselves, what is our holy dance? It's a fun question. inviting us into deep conversations about values and visions, and it got us to paint 6 new words on our wall recently. But lately, I've been wondering why it has been so difficult to move from that conversation that's on this lofty perch of vision and values down to the nitty-gritty of the details, commitments, and projects that could truly have a transformative change in our community. For 9 years now, and probably before that, we've been dancing around with these vision questions, but skirting around how these real questions impact our programs and our facilities, which are already not quite the right shape and size for who we are. So I've started to ask myself, what is the competing commitment that's stopping us from actually creating significant change in the congregation, that's keeping us in this lofty place of high ideals? Fear arises when we start to talk about specifics, and then we stop. We tell ourselves that it's the economy or leadership changes that have gotten in the way, but I've been thinking that something deeper might be at play here. So going back to the immunity to change model, I'm thinking that our competing commitment to really being a change agent in the world, to really creating the changes we need, the rubber hits the road kind of changes, the competing commitment is unity and harmony. Now, we are the We Would Be One denomination, right? It's all over our hymnal, that theology of unity. We love unity. I love unity. But at the same time, as Unitarian Universalists, we profess to accept and value the changes that life inevitably brings, understanding that revelation is not sealed, that there are always new truths to be discovered, truths that might radically impact the way we look at the world. That's also part of who we are as Unitarian Universalists. But here's the rub, and the pun is intended here. There is a tension between the acceptance of change on an intellectual level, the desire for transformation on a soul level, and our desire for comfort, unity, and harmony. It is the paradox of our religious tradition. Saul Alinsky, who many know as the grandfather of community organizing, wrote, "Change means movement. Movement means friction. Only in the frictionless vacuum of a non-existent abstract world can movement or change happen without the abrasive friction of conflict." So underneath that, even that desire for harmony that I think is our competing commitment to real change, I believe is this other big assumption. If we have conflict, we will break apart. This is an especially valid fear from a congregation that was born from conflict, right? 35 years ago, we sprung from the UU Church of Boulder in a conflict so great that the district executive at the time said that we would never survive because there was so much anger in the system that birthed us. Now, we have two very healthy congregations working together in new ways to build a larger vision of what Unitarian Universalism can be for our region. But the pains of the past do get passed down in institutions even after the people most involved are long gone. That's how institutions work. So I'm not surprised in a congregation that has a history, that this congregation has a history of moving with due diligence, very methodically, and with an ingrained fear of disagreeing, that it is perhaps even stronger, that resistance to change, than in other congregations. And then you add to that that no individual life is spared from conflicts that break relationships apart, and those big assumptions hold us tight. The world is full of the pain of broken promises, of conflicts that remain stuck and reactive. So we're going to naturally want to avoid that. But we also can't avoid change, and therefore the friction that comes from movement. The Buddha said, change is never painful, only resistance to change. And the cost to this congregation of not changing, even if that were possible, of succumbing to our own fear of some insurmountable conflict, creates another kind of pain. The pain of remaining stuck and ultimately possibly moving into a place of insignificance. The world is constantly changing, and so is the way that people do church. Some say we are in the midst of the biggest spiritual revolution since the Protestant Reformation, which split Christianity in the 16th century. No longer is participation in a Christocentric religious system a requirement for civic life in this country. Hooray, right? And for us heretics, that is a really good thing. But in its place has come an individualistic, consumeristic, privatized religious response or response to spirituality. A response that speaks to our free religious values, except for the consumeristic part, but perhaps less to our forms of religious life. And it is a response that we have to pay attention to if we want to continue to be a healing force in a broken world. Yesterday at the Path to Membership class, there were about 20 people in this room, and I asked them to share what they have found here. They said community, people to seek and search together with, a place to grow, a home. And I wondered how many others are out there who long for ease and connection in their isolated lives. And how many others are out there who cannot figure out how to deal with the suffering they see in the world at large. And how many of them out there who are suffering themselves to find meaning to their days. It's an isolated world out there, and we offer a way of being together that is hugely valuable in this broken world. Within this past year, we have come to understand our work to be about integrating the two faces of our religious tradition, or of religious life, we would say, inner depth, our own personal transformation, and outer focus, our work in the world. We've come to recognize that the religious response to the pain in the world is having these two things inform each other. And that's what we're trying to do here in a variety of ways. But it's time now to put those lofty ideas into action and to get uncomfortable with one another as we struggle to make real decisions about our future and the impact we want to have in the world. This weekend's meeting of the minds is the opportunity to come and have those real conversations, listening and sharing, disagreeing and being okay with that, and moving forward. Moving to this next phase is going to take some tension. Movement involves tension, some friction, some conflict even. Because conflict really is only two different opinions in the same room at the same time trying to move forward. And if we are indeed living with the big assumption that if we have conflict, we'll break apart, and we don't challenge ourselves on that assumption, we will miss many opportunities to build the world we dream about to be real healers in the world, for ourselves and for others. And that's where covenant comes in. As a covenantal religious organization, we place our trust in one another more than in creeds or in a higher power that will control us or make it better for us. That covenant invites us to learn to stay in the midst of the discomfort of making real plans, to stay in the midst of fear that change brings, to stay, to work it out, and to move forward together. That covenant invites us to set our sights on a bigger vision, a larger potential that is only possible when we look beyond our own limited self-interests and our own limited desires. This work requires that we truly listen to one another, value the differences amongst us, and find a way through. It means that each of us won't get our needs met. Each of our pet projects won't be the ones to move forward this week, this month, or this year. But that we see ourselves as a part of a whole, working for something greater than the sum of all of our parts. It means we need to test our assumptions about the value of comfort and harmony and learn to get comfortable being uncomfortable. Because I will tell you, our little margin of discomfort is nothing compared to the suffering out in the world. And our capacity to be a part of creating meaningful, lasting, beautiful change in the world is dependent upon our capacity to be uncomfortable with ourselves and make some changes that we need to make to move forward. So as we practice this, we may see that what we are indeed doing is practicing being together in just the way that the world needs us to be. As we practice learning to live with difference and move forward for the common good, we are being that which has been such a challenge in the world at large. May we learn to come together, move forward, be in the discomfort of change, test our assumptions, live with conflict, and create the beloved community. Amen.